Well, I got confirmation in the break that I vastly underestimated what we're dealing with here. And I was wrong to presume it was just going to be Reza Shea versus Sarr, and that was the Luka trade discussion here. Ken hit me up on Twitter and said, there's a history of the Hawks drafting the wrong players. Others go on to the All-Star, All-NBA first team, and Hall of Famers. Hawks got it right a couple of times in their history, but overall the record is dismal. Like, if we're just talking about, like, Sarr and Reza Shea, which, by the way, was the discussion because that was who was seemingly considered for number one pick. Like, if it's just Reza Shea versus the entire field and we can look at anyone 2 years from now and be like, yeah, they got it wrong. I don't know. Like, I don't think that's fair either. If you want to argue Sarr because you thought that you wanted Sarr now, that's fine. Or Klingon, if that's the guy, or one of like two or three other players, fine. If like the 18th overall pick, and I don't even know who it was, if the 18th overall pick turns out to be the best player in this draft, the way that like Giannis was or Nikola Jokic, and we've had a couple of drafts where guys out of the top 10, like I don't think it's fair to just Reza Shea versus the field. And so I thought maybe we could get away from this discussion if Reza Shea was just better than Sarr and then we don't compare the two. But Ken told me that that's not going to happen. He said, nah, he's got to be the best one out the draft. If you don't want us comparing, he's got to be the best one in the entire field. Oh, boy. That's just not likely. Like, that's just like numbers. I mean, there's a chance, I would say still decent chance, that over the course of the next 3, 4, 5 years, someone, and I'm not saying it's a lock, but someone from last year's draft turns out to be better, more impactful than Victor Wembanyama. Does that mean the Spurs missed? That's what we're dealing with?
No, it's
no, mean, it is. That's what he told. That's pretty much what he said.
Okay, so then I'll give you an example. In 2014, every NBA team in the every NBA team is you know in the same situation. Some of them in twice. You know the best player in the 2014 NBA draft was?
I'm not good with drafts. Was that the Jokic one?
He
was in the 40s.
Yeah, in the 40s. So I mean, yeah. It happens.
Of course,
it
but that's happens. My point. That's my point. If you want to tell me right now that all it's going to be is between Reza Shea and Sarr, while I don't want it, I can live with that. I'll take my chances that we got the right guy. If we didn't, we can do the Luka Trey thing with Zach and Alex for however many years. I'm not going to sit here and talk about the 17th overall pick turning out better than any of them and say that we missed. If you didn't talk about it at the time, You don't get to come back at it and be like, we missed.
Yeah, no.
Screwed that one up.
The only way this happens is if I would say the top five. The top five is the threshold. And if one of these top five guys, and they don't just have to become good, they got to become an all-time great. They got to become a, you know, what's the next NBA 125 or whatever? They got to be on that list. If one of those guys are on that list and ours isn't, then maybe we missed it. But, you know, just because they become a 10-time All-Star and our guy is a 3- or 4-time All-Star, which we need. Come on, Zachary Reza Shea. How you say it? Let me hear you say it.
Zachary Reza Shea?
Is it Reza Shea? That's how the commissioner said it. Reza Shea.
Well, he butchered it. I'm not worried about him.
I don't know about that.
He butchered it.
No. Yeah. He has people giving him the phonetic spelling.
And?
Reza Shea.
Like I've seen him sat there.
That sounds better. Reza Shea.
Do you think that Goodell doesn't have that the phonetic spelling, and he butchers them too?
Well, yeah.
It's one of those Samoan cats.
You know? Yeah, I'm about to say there's some names that come out of the NBA draft. You know, to say Uga Googly for me one time.
DJ Uyunglele.
There you go.
But I can't say I haven't learned Tennessee's quarterback yet. Nico. Like, we just shortened it to Nico, and I've kind of gotten away with it already. The Tennessee Volunteers five-star quarterback. I've kind of shortened it to just I am Lava, but I know that's not right, but it's close enough. We're just going to go with Nico. But, yeah, like, I mean, we need to go back and listen. Did he get Ruka Rororo right? Like, I don't know who it might have been.
Well, the commissioner wouldn't be right.
That might have been one of the fans or whomever. Like,
I'll find it, though.
You know, don't worry about it. Once you get away from the commissioner and it gets to someone else with a cue card, you're just lucky they say the pick number properly, because that's a big concern on its own. Keaton is in Atlanta, wants to continue this discussion about the Atlanta Hawks. And really, what it really has boiled down to is Reese Shea versus the field, or we're dealing with Luca Trey for the next 6 years. What's going on, Keaton?
Man, I just think that it's more I'm sorry. Happy 4th. Hope y'all are having a good day.
Hey, you
sorry
too.
You got to be at work. Hopefully you can get you a nice cold beer sometime. Anyways, I feel like the thing is that we've got all these people on these organizations, whether it's the Falcons or the Hawks, and they're put in a position, they're paid a lot of money to get these decisions right. And we expect them to get this decision right. And if they mess up or if they don't get the decision right, they get a bunch of flack. And, you know, whether that's deserving or not, maybe they should be cut some slack sometimes, whatever. I don't know. As a fan base, we want to see our teams win. We want to see our teams get the right decisions and pick the right people. And, you know, whenever we don't get that, we're upset. Well, it's just, you know how fan bases can be. I just say we just have to wait it out and see how it goes, yeah?
Yeah, no, I appreciate the call, Keaton, and it's kind of like that. Here's the thing, E, like, when Jordan was drafted, we don't sit there and say that Olajuwon was a bad number one pick. No. And I know what Olajuwon did. I get that.
The debate starts at number two.
But if it were here, I think we'd end up saying Olajuwon was a bad pick because the guy we could have had won 6.
Nah.
Dude, nah. The way this fan base is rocking.
If we had two titles.
I know what you
if
mean.
If we had two titles and any idiot called
but here's
up
the
and
thing.
Said.
Even without the two titles, that wasn't a bad pick. Olajuwon's a Hall of Famer, one of the best. You know what I mean?
Not a Hall of Famer. He is all-time
great. Right.
All-time great.
Even
That's
without
what he
the
is.
Titles, he was going to be that.
Absolutely.
So let's just hypothetically. Hypothetically, Jordan never retires. It's 8 straight, right?
Okay.
Olajuwon doesn't get those 2 in the gap years, right? Olajuwon still was a good, like, it wasn't a disaster pick.
Yep. Okay, well.
I know 2 was. I get, but that's what, like, we can't just compare to every single player.
Yep.
Like, Ken hit me up again, was like, Brock Purdy. I'm like, come on, man. That's not the same thing.
Yeah, well.
And by the way, in NFL, I think guys are much, and it is like this in the NBA a little bit, but not as much as in the NFL. Guys are definitely a victim or beneficiary of circumstance in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Brock Purdy, if he goes to the Jets, is a nightmare. He's Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
I have nothing against Brock Purdy. I think he's a huge beneficiary of the system that he stepped into.
Bingo. Bingo, bingo, bingo. I mean,
don't know if they're going to pay him.
Well, because if you're
so good.
You're John Lynch and you're what's Junior's name?
Whoever.
The head coach. Kyle.
Oh, Shanahan.
Shanny. He's sitting there saying, I did this once. I can do this again.
I said, because there were some worries last year, remember, about Purdy's injury coming into the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, does it matter? Like, this is me personally. If someone else feels this way about Sam Darnold, fine. I was like, Sam Darnold's going to come in and light it up with this offense.
Oh, but he never had a chance to get
it. No, he didn't play. Brock Purdy, and it was fine.
But yeah, but
like, because
definitely.
Of what they do, I was like, I think anyone that's mildly competent, and I do think, I'm not saying Sam Darnold's great, I think he's mildly competent, could have run that offense. Like, are they really going to pay $50 million to Brock
60.
Purdy? Well, yeah.
He's going to want, if he
all
takes
right, here's
back,
the thing. If you're the seventh overall, if you're the seventh round pick, Mr. Irrelevant, and you've got the opportunity to make any contract like that, I'm not pushing my luck fighting for the $60 million. Like, I would take, like,
well,
41.
Well, his agent can't do that.
I know.
He can't do that for the quarterbacks around the league. His agent can't accept that. And if he takes them to another Super Bowl, lo and behold, wins it, He's got to get 55, 60.
Here's the thing.
He's got to.
He's not getting it elsewhere. He would only get it from them.
Yeah. Only the,
and
the
so gold, I'm not paying him 60 if the going rate elsewhere is not 60.
How is it not 60? Didn't
I don't think Brock Purdy's going elsewhere. If 60, no one else is going
to
pay.
55 to 60 is the average.
Who's going to pay that? The Dolphins? We don't like Tua. Brock Purdy. Imagine their fans.
Yeah, well.
All right, so I'm going to hold y'all to it. Now I'm going back on my ask. All right. Oh, this is so depressing. All right, fine. Here's my final offer. If you want to do the Sar Rizashay as Luca Trey, fine. I'll live with it. You do not get to do anyone beyond Sar. Is that a deal? That's where we're at now. You guys have walked me into this Rizashay versus the field nonsense that I cannot deal with for 7 years. It was bad enough with Luca Trey, and I know that was an individual trade, so you're limited to the specifics of that trade. You're limited to that being Luca.
Right. I got one more.
This is not. Yeah. It's kind of your pick. We're not doing the field, man. I'm not doing that.
No, I agree with you. You're good with that.
So I guess if I have to settle with, if you want to do the SAR thing, fine. Like, I still don't want to. I'll let you get away with it. Don't come at me with, like, Jamal Sheed, huh? I should have been him at one. We're not doing that. Bronny James, huh?
Yeah.
No, probably not him.
Don't it have to be? If you believe reports, I know you do your homework. We got to get to a break. If the two other names that they technically maybe considered, Reed Shepard and O'Donovan Clingan, become those guys, technically those were their – when you read all the pre-draft reports, those were the four names.
Yeah, those are right. Names. I know. If you kind of want to extend it, fine. But, like, I feel like most of the people – and I'm not talking about the analysts who just kind of tied names. Most of the people had it as Sar or Rizashay, not Clingan, not – certainly not Shepard. I'd more allow it with Clingan, but I just don't think he's going to be – he will be early. That's going to be the other thing. Like 20 games into this season, everyone's going to be like, forget Sar, Rizashay, should have been Clingan. That'll catch back up with itself over the course of a couple of years.
I think it's going to be Reed. I think Reed is going to be
over the course of a couple years.
The next 3-point sharpshooter in this league for years.
Yeah, I don't think immediately, but over the course of a couple of years, I agree. All right. We never got to that Falcons topic. That's okay. Maybe we'll get to it later. Maybe we won't. We're going to talk about the Atlanta Braves and talk about a number of things as we get prepared for a series against the Philadelphia Phillies. We got the Giants in the series ender tonight first, though. So we got a lot to talk about with the Braves. Coming back in about 5 minutes on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Welcome back in. It's the ATL Show. Live right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Kia Studios until 6 o'clock. Caleb Johnson going to be taking over, and he's got 4 more hours live and local for you from 6 to 10. And I'm working my way through it. I actually didn't realize we had rolled through an hour. Still drained. I'm drinking about a third of my jug, and for those of you who might have worked with me here at 92.9, you know my big jug. It's got my marathon bumper sticker and a 92.9 bumper sticker on it. Lets people know I mean business when it comes to hydration. Except today I didn't, and so I'm now battling the effects of that. Because I did run the Peachtree Road Race, and like I mentioned, if you ran the Peachtree Road Race today, feel free to call in. Share your experiences out there. Where did you start? What was your goal time? How'd you finish? It was hot. And I know that I have to do the first 3 miles as fast as possible. I mean, not quite all out, but I know I've got to go fast the first 3 because I'm not going to go fast the last 3. I busted out of there today the first mile, 7:48. Followed by an 8:10, which is, that's an 8-minute pace. Very happy with that. 8:37 on mile 3. And so very pleased with the 5K time, if you will. But obviously the last 3, not great. Not great. And so I did break an hour, just barely, which was kind of my loose goal. I was hoping I could be a little bit faster, but then a couple things slowed me down. I used a porta potty stop there at one point. Ran into some people from the running group, and we stopped to take a picture, and they didn't let me go into a kick at the final stretch because they wanted to finish together. I'm like, yo, I've saved all my energy the last 3 miles just for this like tenth of a mile stretch. Now you're not letting me burn it out. So unfortunate, but yeah, it's still a pretty good race. Interested in how everyone else did. I know I spoke with Andy Bunker and got the lowdown on his race to some extent. I spoke to my dad. Now, my dad has done a gajillion of these things, and he had a knee replacement like 4 months ago. But he got back into it as much as he could, and he did like a combo run walk, said he felt pretty good, a little bit drained. But he said if he had to go another mile, he could. I'm like, well, yeah, like I was kind of feeling like I was still ready to roll, just not fast. But it was hot out there, and unfortunately, a couple people I know did get cut off of the course because of the black flag shortly around 10:30. So there you go. If you did run, though, feel free to give us a call and share your thoughts on the race. 404-726-0929. All right, so the Atlanta Braves are at the midway point, just a couple of games past. The 81-game mark was a couple of ago. And a lot of people are kind of giving their midway assessments of what's going on and all that. And a question I have is how competitive is this team going to be in the second half? And look, I think we're viewing the Braves right now with unfair expectations. And I say that because we all know that this team is without Spencer Strider and without Ronald Acuna. I don't think we're actually treating them as being without Spencer Strider and Ronald Acuna Jr. And part of that is because some of the other offensive woes separate of Acuna. But, I feel like we're carrying the same expectations on this team without those guys as we had with them. And I'm not necessarily sure that's the right mindset to be. I will say this. We got one more game with the Giants tonight and then three with the Phillies. I'd feel a lot better having this discussion after this game with the Phillies, or series, excuse me, with the Phillies, because I think I'll be pretty informed about what to expect in the second half when we're done with those three games. The Braves are currently 10 games above 500. And I'll say this, because, some people may feel one way, some may feel another. I think we'll all probably settle towards a similar feeling by the end of this Phillies run, or Phillies series. I think this team is competitive enough to make a run in the postseason. I don't know, and again, if they sweep the Phillies, maybe we have a different discussion. I don't know if they're good enough to chase down the Phillies. And a lot of that has to do not with the Braves being good or bad, but with the Phillies being able to keep up their level of play. I don't know if they can chase the Phillies down depending on how this series goes, but I do think this team is competitive enough not to just make a run into the postseason, but when they get there, I do think they can make a run in the postseason. Now, here's the frustrating thing. It's going to come down to what it's come down to for every other team not named the Braves the last couple of years. And that is, are you hot at the right time? Like, can you live with that? Are you okay kind of scratching and clawing your way into the playoffs and hoping you get hot at the right time? That's kind of how it worked for every other team anyways. Like, that's how it worked for the Diamondbacks last year. That's how it worked for the Phillies the year before that. And, again, I know they didn't win the World Series, but they were unexpected entrants out of the National League. And so, are you able to deal with that? Like, is that a mindset that you're prepared to deal with? I am. I'm not saying I'm like overly hopeful that I'm like, yeah, they're going to get there and be hot and rock and roll. Like, no, I'm going to be realistic. I think they're going to get to the playoffs. I don't think it's going to be as NL East champs. And again, I'm basing this on the idea that we do not sweep the Phillies, but maybe we do. It's a 9-game lead right now. I know the Phillies are in action. Braves play tonight. They're 10 games above 500 right now. Like, they're going to make the playoffs. I do feel that. I know John Fricke was on here earlier talking about, I'm not even that positive they're going to make the playoffs. No, I feel pretty good that they're going to make the playoffs. What they do when they get there could not even begin to describe the expectations. They could be out immediately, and they could go on a run or anything in between. I have no idea. I think this pitching staff is good enough that they can get hot. I still think there's enough talent up and down the lineup, especially if Michael Harris gets back and can maybe get back to the sort of form that showed him Rookie of the Year. And then there's the other option here, and that is Alex Anthopoulos. And what can Alex Anthopoulos really do for this team? I've got a couple of suggestions. But Grant McCauley joined Andy and Randy on Wednesday. That was yesterday. I don't know what day it is. He joins every Wednesday at 12:20, and they asked him about Alex Anthopoulos' midseason additions and where he thinks it might be most prudent to try and find some more pieces.
I mean, to me, in this order, I would say outfield, then starting rotation, and then I would say shortstop. And that's just, you know, looking at it from a, all right, if we just lay all the pieces out here on the table, what seems to be working? Where might you find a better slash different fit and upgrade and productivity and whatnot? Those are the areas of concern.
Yeah, I mean, outfield does seem to be the priority. And you're also working with an expectation of wait and see. And I think that's part of why I'm wondering how this is going to play out. You've got a wait-and-see situation in the outfield as it relates to Michael Harris coming back. Because if Jared Kelnick goes back to left, Harris gets in center. You keep your defensive qualities in the outfield as good as it can get. If Harris can hit the ball with some power and some average and be aggressive on the bases, you certainly add that. And then you're only dealing with right field, and Duvall's maybe hitting righties a little bit better, and you figure out how you want to use, you know, Luke Williams and Forrest Wall and Ramon Laureano if he gets his back better at that point. But it's kind of wait and see. And I'm also wondering if it's a little bit of wait and see for that extra starter. I agree with Grant. I would like to add another piece in the rotation. Spencer Schwellenbach is clearly not getting it done. And look, he's going to be going on Saturday against Ranger Suarez. Like, when you look at that series, that's a big advantage for the Phillies. Doesn't mean that Schwellenbach can't go 4 or 5. Doesn't mean the Braves won't hit Suarez. They have before, but they've also been shut down by him before. But I do wonder, like it's wait and see with Michael Harris, is it wait and see with Ian Anderson? Like, is that the plan? Is Anthopoulos trying to get a grasp of what they've got there before committing to moves? Maybe. I don't really think we need more bullpen help. I know a lot of people have said at different points, maybe you could. With A.J. Minter back, I'm pretty comfortable there. I would never say no to bullpen help. Let me put it that way. If you can get a dude that's got an arm, that's an arm, throw him in the bullpen, I'm comfortable with that. But you've also got like 5 guys with sub-3 ERAs in the bullpen. Jimenez has been outstanding this year. Jesse Chavez, we know, has been outstanding. I know a lot of people don't like it, but Raisel Iglesias has been great. A.J. Minter's rounded back into form. And you got some good news on Tyler Matzek in terms of not needing a UCL repair. It's a tendon situation. I don't know the timeline there, but it's not Tommy John or anything like that. So there is that. And then the shortstop question is going to be kind of muddling around there as well. If you do try and upgrade at shortstop, does Arcia have to be part of the deal that moves him out? If not, is he become your lead off the bench? I mean, in terms of a bat, in terms of a fielder, or like what's the plan there? So, a lot of interesting discussions, but again, we're going to have to reset all of this after the Philly series because I think this season, and I'm not saying the season hinges on this series, I think the race for the NL East hinges on this series. Right now you're down 9 games. If you don't pick up Like, you can, if you only take two or three, like, if you win the series, you only pick up one game, that's not going to be enough, in my opinion. Like, I don't think you could chase down the Phillies without a sweep. I really don't. It is way deeper into the season now than it was when you were trailing the Mets by 10.5 on June 1st. We're past July 1st, and it's 9. And the Phillies, look, I guess there's potential for their starting rotation to fall apart a little bit, but we'll see. By the way, Friday night, Max Fried and Aaron Nola. And that is a Apple TV game for those of you who do not have Xfinity. Just a friendly heads up. All right. It is July 4th, Independence Day. It is a great American holiday. I might say it's a little too great. I got some problems. And I hate to be old man yelling at clouds here, but we're going to do that. July 4th is massively, massively overrated. Massively overrated. I'll tell you why on the other side. It's Abe Gordon here live in the Kia Studios. It's the Abe TL Show. Got Eric Slaughter hanging out with me as well. Coming right back. Why July 4th is overrated on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game. Walk it like I talk it. Walk it like I talk it. It is the ABTL Show. Ian Happ just hit a three-run home run for the Chicago Cubs. They're now up 8-2 on the Phillies. And so we'll see if the Braves can win tonight, assuming the Cubs can hold that lead and maybe cut into that lead in the NL East a little bit. And certainly would make that series a little bit interesting. You know, again, if you can get it down to 8 tonight, the potential of a sweep will put it at 5. And I said if it gets to 5 or 6 this weekend, it'd be game on. And the Braves hadn't closed the gap through the rest of this week. But if they can close it now, they'd have to sweep, and you can get it down to 5, and then, you know, game on for the NL East. I want to wish everyone a happy Independence Day. Hope you're having a very enjoyable July 4th. I like July 4th. It's fine. Like, it's a holiday. It's a day off. It's not perfect. And, like, now I feel like I kind of have to be the bad guy and kind of dump on it a little bit. Like, I'm kind of like Ebenezer Scrooge, but for Independence Day. Like, the highlight of July 4th for me is the Peachtree Road Race. Like that's kind of all there is to it. And I'll tell you why. The soundtrack of July 4th. The patriotic songs. I want new ones, man. Like, they're tired and played out. I get that they're classic, and that's fine. They're old. They're tired. They're not enjoyable anymore. They're just not. I'm sorry. Like, the soundtrack of July 4th is blah. Also tired and played out are fireworks, man. Like, I'm sorry. And I know I probably say this every year. Why are we not doing drone shows by now? Like, fireworks are trash. Sorry, they are. And I'll tell you why I don't particularly care for fireworks. Outside of the fact that a lot of people's pets, mostly dogs, have a problem with them and what's going on. And, you know, there's a lot of lost dogs every year on July 4th. Aside from the fact that people shoot these things off way too late. Like, there should be a cutoff of, like, I don't know. What should be the cutoff, E? Like, 11? 11:30? Like, I don't need fire
for a residential neighborhood. That's
I don't need 1:18 a.m. I don't need fireworks going off at 1:18. I had fireworks last night. What's that about? Bro, that's Wednesday, July 3rd. Cut it out. I'm trying to get some sleep for the Peachtree. You're blasting off fireworks? But here's the real thing about fireworks. Fireworks are the exact same as they have been since I was 10. Have we made no new firework technology? No advances, no upgrades? It's the same fireworks as it's been for 25 years, for 30 years. I want something new. It's like every possible market has taken steps forward. Better phones, better cars, better water bottles. Like any market you can think of has advanced. Fireworks have stayed the same. There's been zero advancement in the field of fireworks in 30 years. And so I'm done with them. Give me drone shows. More concerns about July 4th. It's too hot to enjoy stuff, man. I can't be outside right now. I don't care if you're near a pool or near a lake or whatever. It's too hot. The hot dogs aren't the only thing sweating out there, man. I have to buy clothes, E, that I wear once a year only on July 4th. That's what we're doing? I have to have an official attire. I better have it. It's like the patriotic version of St. Patty's Day.
But can't you buy it and, you know, kind of...
Do you? No. No one does.
You can't...
You have USA shorts or American flag overalls. You wear that once a year, July 4th.
And then you can wear it again next year. Just kind of switch it up.
So you had to go out and buy something that you wear once a year.
I mean...
I'm just being clear here.
Okay.
This is what we're doing.
Hold up. That... 4th of July wouldn't be the only occasion that you do that. You buy a Halloween costume, you wear it once.
Halloween's dumb. I don't do that. I don't have kids.
Here's the thing. You got a New Year's Eve outfit?
No.
Easter outfit?
Well, I'm Jewish, so.
Okay. Also. Sorry. Okay.
But those are just regular, nice clothes.
Right, but still, they're bought for that one occasion, and you may wear it.
No, like, if I was going out on New Year's Eve, I would just wear, like, a regular nice jeans and a regular button-down. And so they're just nice clothes that I have. And by the way, for Halloween, if I wanted candy, I'm just going to go to the store and buy candy. I'm an adult. More concerns about July 4th. Way too much trust put in to people who grill once a year. A lot of people are getting the burgers, dogs, chicken, whatever they're doing ready, and it's the only time they're going to do it this year. And I don't trust them. I don't trust them. By the way, speaking of like burgers and dogs, E, am I un-American if I go with brats? Is that,
not
like,
at
does
all.
It have to
not
be a USA not grade
a,
beef?
Absolutely
like,
not. A dog's a dog. Put it on a bun. I'm a brat man.
Because I'm gonna get home and like Joey Chestnut it up and have I mean not really I'm gonna have three
yeah
I'm gonna have you know. Three brats.
Do you cook them in beer? How do you cook them?
I just get
them in oven.
Yeah, just get them going.
Okay, no,
man, nothing fancy.
Marinate them in a little beer for.
I don't like
minutes.
Beer to drink. I don't want it tainting.
Trust me,
I want it tainting my brat.
You don't.
I got like a Johnsonville.
Gotta teach you, brother.
It's a betta with cheddar brat, so it's got like. You know, they syringed some cheese in there or something. So it's pretty good. And here's the other thing. I got to work tomorrow. Like having to roll back to work tomorrow is brutal. And I know not everyone is necessarily working tomorrow. That's a tough one. Like I know Andy and Randy, we're going to be at Twin Peaks Buckhead, by the way. So come on out. I hope they're not listening, but I'll give you a little spoiler. I have July 4th themed Sports Jeopardy questions for them. They're going to hate me. I can't wait. I get there early just to measure out what I believe to be Randy's reach. And then I have to add the fork reach on top of it. Make sure I'm out of range from Randy. But it does feel like it should be the start of the weekend, and it's not this year. Because this is a drinking holiday. Like, for a lot of people, it may be not drinking the way, like, St. Paddy's Day is, but it's definitely a drinking holiday. And people start early, they start with beer, and they don't hydrate, right? And people will feel the effects tomorrow, and they you got to go back to work now. Like, it's a regular Friday for a lot of people. That's a rough go. Mentally, that's a rough turnaround. And so, I'm not saying there's no redeeming qualities for July 4th. Like, obviously, the premise of Independence Day, like, thinking about what happened during the Revolutionary War, like, that's not part of the holiday anymore. Like, we are aware of that. Like, this holiday is not bigger in certain parts of the country where, like, key Revolutionary War fights were held, where there were key battles. Like, Yorktown is not celebrating more than Omaha today. Now, I will say this about July 4th. A lot of decent July 4th movies. And we're going to do a list next hour about my July 4th. And again, I'm going to do like a PM power ranking for those of you who have maybe heard me on 92.9 The Game tonight, 7 to 10 on weeknights. I do a segment called the PM Power Rankings, and I take a list of five. I do a sports topic, and I power rank my choices and a non-sports topic. Today, we're just doing a movie topic. My top five Independence Day movies, July 4th films, whatever you want to call them. Some are obvious. Some maybe a little bit less so. We're going to do that at 4:40, so just about an hour. We're going to dive back into some more Independence Day discussion. A lot of NBA, though, coming your way in this next hour. The Atlanta Hawks. Boy, I'll tell you what. If you didn't like my Saar Risacher take earlier, you're definitely not going to like this one. I got something coming your way at 4:20. People are not going to like. And it's about the future of the Atlanta Hawks, and if there is one right now. And that's just the real truth about it. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But before we do that, NBA free agency, I feel like most of the big money moves have been made. We'll see if there's a surprise trade at some point. But I got a list of teams here I think got better. A couple of maybe got a little bit worse. And we have a late push, very late push, including a move made today that might put another team into this discussion. It's not even on the rundown. I wrote it in pen, by hand. That's how late of a push it was. And so we'll talk about that. NBA free agency, who got better? We got a lot more to come here. It is the Abe TL Show live from the Kia Studios on a Thursday afternoon, July 4th. Again, I'm going to be here till 6 p.m. Eastern time. Going to hand the reins over to Caleb Johnson at that time. I did run the Peachtree Road Race this morning. I've been putting out the call. We've got a couple of comments on Twitter, but no real calls. If you ran the Peachtree and you want to share your experience, your story, 404-726.
Yeah, no more make-believe stories.
Yeah, I said no real calls. We had a call, but it was not a real one.
I wish I'd have screened him better. Well, I mean,
well, what are you gonna do? Yeah. So, like, all right. So here's the thing: like, other hosts might yell at you for like not screening a phone call. I've been a producer. You can only go off of what someone tells you, and there've been plenty of times
they're never going to reveal it all.
Yeah, there's been plenty of times that they told me they're going to say or ask one thing, and then they've gone a completely different direction, and specifically one that we wanted to avoid for whatever reason. And so that's going to happen. That's all right. But yeah, 404-726-0929. If you ran the Peachtree today, want to talk about it, want to talk about how you dealt with the heat, your starting wave, your start time, your goal time, what you actually ended up finishing in. If you like the t-shirt, whatever you want to chat about in regards to the Peachtree Road Race, tell E you ran it. Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game. Walk it like I talk it. Walk it like I talk it. It is the ABTL show. Ian Happ just hit a three-run home run for the Chicago Cubs. They're now up 8-2 on the Phillies. And so we'll see if the Braves can win tonight, assuming the Cubs can hold that lead and maybe cut into that lead in the NL East a little bit, and certainly would make that series a little bit interesting. You know, again, if you can get it down to eight tonight, the potential of a sweep will put it at five. And I said if it gets to five or six this weekend, it'd be game on. And the Braves hadn't closed the gap through the rest of this week. But if they can close it now, they'd have to sweep, and you can get it down to five, and then, you know, game on for the NL East. I want to wish everyone a happy Independence Day. Hope you're having a very enjoyable July 4th. I like July 4th. It's fine. Like, it's a holiday. It's a day off. It's not perfect. And, like, now I feel like I kind of have to be the bad guy and kind of dump on it a little bit. Like, I'm kind of like Ebenezer Scrooge, but for Independence Day. Like, the highlight of July 4th for me is the Peachtree Road Race. Like that's kind of all there is to it. And I'll tell you why. The soundtrack of July 4th. The patriotic songs. I want new ones, man. Like, they're tired and played out. I get that they're classic, and that's fine. They're old. They're tired. They're not enjoyable anymore. They're just not. I'm sorry. Like, the soundtrack of July 4th is blah. Also tired and played out are fireworks, man. Like, I'm sorry. And I know I probably say this every year. Why are we not doing drone shows by now? Like, fireworks are trash. Sorry, they are. And I'll tell you why I don't particularly care for fireworks. Outside of the fact that a lot of people's pets, mostly dogs, have a problem with them and what's going on. And, you know, there's a lot of lost dogs every year on July 4th. Aside from the fact that people shoot these things off way too late. Like, there should be a cutoff of, like, I don't know. What should be the cutoff, E? Like, 11? 11:30? Like, I don't need
For a residential neighborhood. That's what
I don't need 1:18 a.m. I don't need fireworks going off at 1:18. I had fireworks last night. What's that about? Bro, that's Wednesday, July 3rd. Cut it out. I'm trying to get some sleep for the Peachtree. You're blasting off fireworks? But here's the real thing about fireworks. Fireworks are the exact same as they have been since I was 10. Have we made no new firework technology? No advances, no upgrades? It's the same fireworks as it's been for 25 years, for 30 years. I want something new. It's like, every possible market has taken steps forward. Better phones, better cars, better water bottles. Like, any market you can think of has advanced. Fireworks have stayed the same. There's been zero advancement in the field of fireworks in 30 years. And so I'm done with them. Give me drone shows. More concerns about July 4th. It's too hot to enjoy stuff, man. I can't be outside right now. I don't care if you're near a pool or near a lake or whatever. It's too hot. The hot dogs aren't the only thing sweating out there, man. I have to buy clothes, E, that I wear once a year only on July 4th. That's what we're doing? I have to have an official attire. I better have it, it's like the patriotic version of St. Patty's Day.
But can't you buy it and, you know, kind of
do you? No. No one does.
You can't.
You have USA shorts or American flag overalls. You wear that once a year, July 4th.
And then you can wear it again next year. Just kind of switch it up.
So you had to go out and buy something that you wear once a year.
I mean,
I'm just being clear here.
Okay,
this is what we're doing.
Hold up, that 4th of July wouldn't be the only occasion that you do that. You buy a Halloween costume, you wear it once.
I don't. Halloween's dumb. I don't do that. I don't have kids.
Here's the thing. You got a New Year's Eve outfit?
No.
Easter outfit?
Well, I'm Jewish, so.
Okay. Also. Sorry. Okay.
But those are just regular nice clothes.
Right, but still, they're bought for that one occasion, and you may wear it.
No, if I was going out on New Year's Eve, I would just wear a regular nice jeans and a regular button down. And so they're just nice clothes that I have. And by the way, for Halloween, if I wanted candy, I'm just going to go to the store and buy candy. I'm an adult. More concerns about July 4th. Way too much trust put in to people who grill once a year. A lot of people are getting the burgers, dogs, chicken, whatever they're doing ready, and it's the only time they're going to do it this year. And I don't trust them. I don't trust them. By the way, speaking of burgers and dogs, E., am I un-American if I go with brats? Is that, USA grade beef?
Absolutely not. A dog's a dog. Put it on a bun. I'm a brat man.
Because I'm going to get home and Joey Chestnut it up. I'm going to have three.
Yeah.
I'm going to have three brats.
Do you cook them in beer? How do you cook them?
I just get them
in the oven.
Yeah, just get them going.
Okay, no, man,
nothing fancy.
Marinate them in a little beer for.
I don't like
minutes.
Beer to drink. I don't want it tainting. I don't want it tainting my brat.
You don't.
I got a Johnsonville.
Gotta teach you, brother.
It's a betta with cheddar brat, so it's got they syringed some cheese in there or something. So it's pretty good. And here's the other thing. I got to work tomorrow. Having to roll back to work tomorrow is brutal. And I know not everyone is necessarily working tomorrow. That's a tough one. I know Andy and Randy, we're going to be at Twin Peaks Buckhead, by the way, so come on out. I hope they're not listening, but I'll give you a little spoiler. I have July 4th themed Sports Jeopardy questions for them. They're going to hate me. I can't wait. I get there early just to measure out what I believe to be a Randy's reach. And then I have to add the fork reach on top of it. Make sure I'm out of range from Randy. But it does feel like it should be the start of the weekend, and it's not this year. Because this is a drinking holiday. For a lot of people, it may be not drinking the way St. Paddy's Day is. But it's definitely a drinking holiday, and people start early, they start with beer, and they don't hydrate, right? And people will feel the effects tomorrow, and you got to go back to work now. It's a regular Friday for a lot of people. That's a rough go. Mentally, that's a rough turnaround. And so, I'm not saying there's no redeeming qualities for July 4th. Obviously, the premise of Independence Day, thinking about what happened during the Revolutionary War, that's not part of the holiday anymore. We are aware of that. This holiday is not bigger in certain parts of the country where key Revolutionary War fights were held, where there were key battles. Yorktown is not celebrating more than Omaha today. Now, I will say this about July 4th. A lot of decent July 4th movies. And we're going to do a list next hour about my July 4th. And again, I'm going to do a PM power ranking for those of you who have maybe heard me on 92.9 The Game tonight, 7 to 10 on weeknights. I do a segment called the PM power rankings. And I take a list of five. I do a sports topic and I power rank my choices and a non-sports topic. Today, we're just doing a movie topic. My top five Independence Day movies, July 4th films, whatever you want to call them. Some are obvious, some maybe a little bit less so. We're going to do that at 4:40. So just about an hour We're going to dive back into some more Independence Day discussion. A lot of NBA, though, coming your way in this next hour. The Atlanta Hawks. Boy, I'll tell you what. If you didn't like my Sarrija Shea take earlier, you're definitely not going to like this one. I got something coming your way at 420. People are not going to like. And it's about the future of the Atlanta Hawks, and if there is one right now. And that's just the real truth about it. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But before we do that, NBA free agency, I feel like most of the big money moves have been made. We'll see if there's a surprise trade at some point. But I got a list of teams here I think got better. A couple of maybe got a little bit worse. And we have a late push, very late push, including a move made today that might put another team into this discussion. It's not even on the rundown. I wrote it in pen, by hand. That's how late of a push it was. And so we'll talk about that. NBA free agency, who got better? We got a lot more to come here. It is the Abe TL Show live from the Kia Studios on a Thursday afternoon, July 4th. Again, I'm going to be here till 6 p.m. Eastern time. Going to hand the reins over to Caleb Johnson at that time. I did run the Peachtree Road Race this morning. I've been putting out the call. We've got a couple of comments on Twitter, but no real calls. If you ran the Peachtree and you want to share your experience, your story, 404-726.
Yeah, no more make-believe stories.
Yeah, I said no real calls. We had a call, but it was not a real one.
I wish I'd have screened him better. Well, I mean,
well, what are you gonna do? So, like, all right. So here's the thing: like, other hosts might yell at you for like not screening a phone call. I've been a producer. You can only go off of what someone tells you, and there've been plenty of times
they're never gonna reveal it all.
Yeah, there's been plenty of times that they told me they're gonna say or ask one thing, and then they've gone a completely different direction, and specifically one that we wanted to avoid for whatever reason. And so that's gonna happen. That's all right. But yeah, 404-726-0929. If you ran the Peachtree today, want to talk about it, want to talk about how you dealt with the heat, your starting wave, your start time, your goal time, what you actually ended up finishing in. If you like the t-shirt, whatever you want to chat about in regards to the Peachtree Road Race, tell E you ran it and we'll get you right to the top of the list. But I've got to talk about the NBA free agency period. All the moves that were made going back to Sunday, 6 p.m. That's when the negotiating window open. We're going to talk about it on the other side. It's the Abe TL Show. Abe Gordon here live in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.